This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History. From memes to movements, see how this powerful online community shapes culture and society. Black Twitter, A People's History, premieres May 9th, streaming on Hulu.
I'm B.A. Parker, and this is Code Switch. Today, we have an extra special episode for you. It's from our play cousins at Alt Latino, who just relaunched their show with a whole new sound. We've got a new co-host, Ana Maria Sayer. She joins Felix Contreras on the mic to talk about all things Latin music. And for today's show, you'll hear them talk to R&B darling Omar Apollo. He's from Indiana, his parents are from Guadalajara, Mexico, and he talks to Ana Maria about what it's like becoming a role model for queer Latinx kids. It's a great conversation, and before I give too much away, I'll let Ana Maria and Felix take it from here.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Ana Maria Sayer. Let the chisme begin. Felix, did you know that Omar Apollo has his own hot sauce brand?
I had no idea, honestly.
I think most people don't. In addition to being a major global star on the rise, he is also, in fact, in the business of bringing tasty condiments to his fans. It's actually his mom's recipe.
So he's in the business of sharing his Mexican-American culture through his music and then through food. Interesting.
You always have a beautiful way of putting it, Felix. He's been doing that actually a lot lately in his music. His latest album, Ivory, includes a solid mix of hip-hop, indie sad boy singing, and even some ranchera-esque belting mixed in.
A lot of real cool stuff on that record. And as we've done with Alt Latino in the past, we're catching Omar Apollo at a critical point in his development as an artist, like almost at the very beginning. The conversation you had with him showed how he's revealing more of who he is and continually showcasing his culture through his music.
Since his SoundCloud days, which were, believe it or not, just a few years ago, he's been leaning into, I don't know, what feels natural and authentic to who he really is.
And in just a few years, he's hanging out with some of the biggest names in the music business. That's pretty amazing.
Which I think we know all too well, Felix, can be both a good thing and a bad thing.
No kidding.
He actually had a moment when he was first signed to a major label where he let too many voices influence the type of music that he was making. He told me in our interview that he didn't really feel like the music was his, and so he actually scrapped the entire album just a few days before he was supposed to tour with it.
That takes a lot of courage and a lot of self-confidence, man.
I grilled him on where that courage came from, how he got from his basement in Indiana to becoming an icon for queer Latinx kids around the nation. Spoiler, it did take a little help from Pharrell.
The music of this young man from the Midwest is a reflection of Mexican culture among folks his age. It's less a sound of accordions and mariachis, but more of soul, hip-hop, and other contemporary sounds. It's quite a different sound from what my generation expects, but honestly, I'm all about it. So let's dig into that interview.
Oh, hi. Welcome to the show. This is all.
Thank you for having me, darling.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I'm going to tell everyone that. I'm like, Omar called me darling. So you were talking about your art and kind of the way that you express yourself and how you landed on music as that being the form. You said you started with dance. Can we hear a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I started dancing when I was like 11. I would like gig in like third grade. And like,
how'd you get into it?
My mom, she like, my sister was already doing it, and then I saw my sister doing it. I was like, oh, I want to do it, too. So they, like, dressed me up like a mariachi.
Yeah.
And then I would just do these little dances. They'd pick me up from school, and I'd go, like, perform at some college or something. Yeah, I did, like, one dance, the raspa, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I was such a little kid. Everyone else was like, you know, 17 or 16. Mm-hmm. But I had to be like 10 or 9. And I was really small as a kid. I didn't get taller till I was like 16 or something.
Wow. Okay. So you were the showstopper. You were the closer.
Yeah, I was the closer. I was the anchor.
They brought you in for the good vibes at the end.
Right. I still know the dance. Awesome. It's really simple.
So you're dancing. That's like your thing that you start out with. And
right.
then how did you end up landing where you are now?
Well, I started dancing, yeah. And then I kept dancing till I was like 16 or 17. Like, for real. Like, I was saving up my money to go to, like, choreography classes. Mm. I didn't go to many. I went to, like, 3 or 4 that were, like, $10 or, like, $20. Mm-hmm. And I'd save up. I'd take the train and I'd go. And then music was always a thing. When I was 12, I would play guitar in church. But my guitars got stolen when I was, like, 14.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they got stolen from one from church and one from my house.
Damn.
Yeah, we got robbed a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's and they like, were after your guitars.
They would take everything. Like, they'd just, like, my mom's wedding rings and, like...
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I was like, oh, I don't have enough money. So that's when I got a job at McDonald's and, like, saved up and got another one. And I was, like, 17, 18.
Okay.
And then that's when I started making music, when I was 17, 18. So I was like, oh, I like dancing, but music feels right now. So I started doing that. And then it kind of just, like... snowballed.
Yeah,
I kind of knew what was like sounded good to me because I knew when my music wasn't good. I remember it being not good. I was like, oh, I'm going to get good.
Do you ever listen back to like early stuff?
It's cringy. I played it for some friends and they're like, this isn't even bad, bro. But I'm like, nah, this is terrible. I was like so close to the microphone, like I was singing like this all breathy, like
you were like going for the like, I feel like we all have that moment when you're first trying, you know, music or whatever it is, and you're like, I gotta go for the thing that, like, everyone, you know, it's so sick to do this or that or whatever.
Yeah,
have that
but then
style.
You find out what, like, works for you, and then you, like, exaggerate that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what led to it.
What did you feel worked for you? Like, when did you find that sweet spot?
I remember I was working at a Jimmy John's when I was, like, 18 or 19 or something like that. I had never liked my music before that. I had been making it for like a year. And then I was just like, oh, like I don't like it yet. And I remember one time I just made a voice memo on my phone and it was so sick. Like it was so, mm-hmm. It's still up. You mm-hmm. can find it. It's called Yellow Jasper on SoundCloud. I bet you call mine. I bet it's all right. But we're the same song. Days I give flooded. It was all freestyle, and then I just, like, as soon as I got home from work, I went and recorded it just exactly how I had the voice memo, just, like, a little cleaner and, like, added harmonies. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, oh, from then on, it was just like, okay, it just turned on a switch, and then I was able to just do shit.
Yeah. Why would you keep going at it if you literally didn't like what you were making?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I had this feeling. It was just like, oh, I know I could do it. Like, I know I can. I just loved it so much. I didn't care. And I remember at that age, you couldn't tell me anything. Like, people were saying, people in my family were like, you suck at singing. You're a terrible singer. I wasn't good yet. Like, I wasn't good.
Yeah.
I had to learn. It bothered me, but not, like, in a way that it's like, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing when I was dancing, too. People would, like, make fun of me, and then I'd just be like, well, whatever. I'm different. I'm like, because around there, no one makes music, no one dances, no one directs, mm-hmm. no one, like, you know, you go to L.A. and New York, oh, my dad's a director, my mom's in music. Or, like, you know, it's, like, it's not far-fetched. But out there, it's, like, you work at the steel mill, and then, like, do meth, and then, like... That's it. I remember there was a point in time, like, you know, around 2020, where, like, I was accepting other people's opinions too much. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, really, really messing with how my music sounded.
Yeah.
And I literally just had to cut everybody off and, like, rent a house in, like, Idlewild and just
Idlewild.
Make music by myself, no opinions. Because it affects, somebody says something, I'm like, oh, well, I'm thinking about it. Like, mm-hmm. And so, yeah, now I'm going to make it differently, so... I found that if I'm just, like, alone. Just boundary setting. I feel like you should do that in all parts of your life.
Yeah. Pillows soft as leaves that fall in November. When you write, are you thinking about who's going to be listening when you're writing?
I think that my songwriting's like definitely developed over the years, because before, like when I made my first songs, they kind of were all about like unrequited love, because I hadn't really been in a relationship yet. I was so young. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm writing more like of these complex feelings of like, you know, relationships, life, money, all that stuff.
Yeah. When you say you're working on boundaries, like obviously with who you're working with, making music and whatever, that's one part of it. But do you feel like you're also working on boundaries within your work, like in what you decide to share with the world? I mean, it's so vulnerable.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
For sure. Yeah. I've definitely like taken things off, and just because of that, like,
yeah, because you weren't ready to like put that out there.
I'm just like, oh, that was too much. Like, that's too there. Like, I'm good. You don't need that. Sometimes you're just letting go. Like, you just need to say shit.
Yeah.
It depends what's your vibe. If that's how you're feeling and like, and you say it in like a clever way, then it's dope.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think my next music is going to be like that. I'm going to just really like be honest.
Why? What changed?
I mean, even the fact that I'm like thinking right now about what to say, like, mm-hmm. I don't want it to feel like that. Like, yeah. I want it to feel like expression, you know? Like, I want it to feel like, you ever like leave dinner and you're like, damn, did I say too much? Mm-hmm. I just want to be able to just say shit and just like say, deal with it. Like, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It's like, that's just how it is. That's how I am. Like, what you going to do? Like,
yeah. Like putting more of yourself into it. And then like, right. Also once you do that, being able to not like, it's like literally what you said, like, oh, did I say too much? Like, and then you're playing it back. Right. And you're like, should I have said this? Should I have said that?
Right.
So it's like being vulnerable in the music to like say it, and then also to not like.
Yeah, because then it's like no surprises.
Yeah.
A lot of things can feel performative, especially when you're talking. It's like people be themselves all the time. Like, but once you put a camera or like, you know, a microphone, it's like obviously you're thinking a little differently. You're like, okay, well, this is going to be, you know, digitally immortalized forever, yeah. So like maybe I should watch what I say.
Yeah, well, especially for you, like people are, yeah. I don't know, I can go out there and say whatever and then no one's gonna bring it back to me, but you, I mean, people are like, right. Paying attention to what you're saying.
No, it's super important, and I think that like you need to realize that, but I also think that like you shouldn't not be yourself because of it. 'Cause I really don't wanna be here alone. Too many people I don't see no more. Many feelings I don't feel no more. 'Cause I really don't wanna be here alone. Too many people I don't need no more. So many doubts that I stopped keeping score. Just like that performative nature of things is really like, that's what it felt like when I first started doing it, like in interviews. I'd be like, oh, like, you know, I gotta be like, I gotta use big words, I gotta da da, or whatever. Maybe not big words, because I don't know big words, but no, when I was younger, I thought like that, because I'd love seeing interviews and I'd be like, yo, they sound so smart. But I'm like, if I'm not, like, if this is how I talk, this is how I talk. Like, yeah. You know, I don't know.
Do you feel
I
like.
I do know, but like, you know.
You do know, but yeah. No, I know. I know you know, but I know.
I know that you know that I know.
I know that you know that I know. You. Being as big as you are, right? Like, you have skyrocketed in terms of your music, and you're so talented, and it's well-deserved. But I think more than just the music being what it is, a lot of people obviously look to you as someone who, right, a lot of us traditionally have not seen. You're, like, you are representing so many different people who see themselves in you. And speaking about being performative, do you ever feel a pressure to perform in a certain way or be a certain way or say certain things because so many people are looking up to you as like a representation of themselves?
Yeah, of course, fully. I think it's like really important, especially in like queer Latino kids come up to me and they'll tell me like they have the same amount of siblings of me, their parents are from the same place, they're also queer, and like I'm like, oh, this is bigger than what I thought, you know. Yeah. Or like when kids are like, I started playing guitar because of you, like I'm like, yo, that's nuts. Because I don't even think I go home and I watch P-Valley, you know? Like, I'm just, and
you were on the record just saying that. Just saying.
And it's definitely something super important. And I always try to say something at the shows and, like, try to make everyone feel seen. Because, you know, that was definitely something that was lacked when I was a kid and like when I'd go to shows. I never really felt represented. I never really felt like, you know, so I think it is important.
Our conversation with Omar Apollo will continue right after this short break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu with Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Directed by Prentice Penny, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how Black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History premieres May 9th, streaming on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In this country, some truths aren't self-evident. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as wide-ranging and real as the people who tell them, we celebrate the Black experience for all its soul and richness. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts. Parker, just Parker, Code Switch. We're back with Ana Maria Serra from Alt Latino talking with Omar Apollo.
Being an artist and being a musician, it's almost like its own form of like going through therapy, right?
Right.
Where it's like, I feel like you do grow in your ability to like express yourself and like put everything out there. And so it's like now you have this career where you very publicly put yourself out there. Like, has that impacted the relationship with your parents?
My parents didn't know that I made music for like a couple years. Like they did, but the first time they came to a show was when it was like 1,200 people and they were just so confused.
Wow.
They were like, oh, this is someone else's show, right? Like you're opening? I was like, no. I was like, I'm not opening. And they're like, what? And then like, I remember my mom, she was just said she was crying. She heard everyone screaming my name. She was just so confused. She was like, what? Screaming for Omar? Screaming for Omar? She
That's
was so confused.
So cute.
And I mean, after that, obviously, they're just super proud and super into it. But if I, you know, went through what they went through and, like, crossed the border and, like, had kids out here and didn't really know the language, I would be scared if my kid told me he wants to be a singer, too. Like, I'm not pressed.
Yeah.
It would have been nice for them to be supportive in other ways and probably would have helped my self-esteem at the time. I really believe that people can change and people can grow and... yeah, I'm not holding anything against them.
Yeah.
We have a great relationship now, and, like, it's cool. Honestly, like, when... I don't know how to say this without sounding, like, arrogant, but, like, when you pay the bills, they can't say that much to you. Like, they really can't. You won't believe what happened to me. My parents are very, you know, traditional Mexican parents. I don't curse around them. Like, I grew up, like, super Catholic, too. So I'm just, like, over here with it. But, no, they understand. And I get, like, you know, that religion brings them comfort. I get that. And I think that, like, you know, I had to just look for comfort in other ways. Well, my dad has always been really open-minded. He's, like... well, was only into religion because my mom. But my mom is, like, she's really starting to, like, open up and open her mind a little bit and be like, oh, wow, like, there are different religions.
Right?
And, like,
what a fascinating concept.
No, she's known that. She's known that, obviously. But I'm just saying, like, she's really, like, trying, which is important to me. It's just like, yeah, as long as you're trying, like, I get it. You were raised your whole life thinking one thing, one way. And then, like... God gives you this crazy kid who, like, wants to be a singer and is, like, queer. So, like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? He probably gave it to you for a reason.
And like, he's like, this is going to help you grow.
Right? It's like, okay, like, we reached the ceiling here.
And that, I mean, you doing what you do and being who you are has to have opened up their world in
fully.
So many ways.
Yeah, it really has.
I know I asked you earlier if you were speaking to anyone when you write, but like, is your family a thought? Are your parents a thought when you were,
yeah,
when you were working on
your album? I just made this song recently. No, before that, I never really talked about my parents in songs, but I just wrote a song. I called my mom and told her about it. She was like, oh, like, and I'm obsessed with it. And I was talking about my parents. And it's cool to have a song that's like not about love. Well, I guess love, like, but like not about romantic love. It's more about like self-love and the things that you deal with and the real thoughts that you have. They are just real. Like, it's like, that's just what's going on. Because that's what's important to me is like family.
I mean, that's if I want kids. A good Mexican kid, then you'll know familia is the most important of all things, as my grandma texts me every single day. Don't forget us.
Right.
Are you more of like a you love performing person, or you'd rather be in the studio? Because you tour low-key a lot.
Yeah, I do enjoy touring. I feel like there's going to be a point where I really enjoy it because I'm really, really going to dial in the music. And once I do that, then, like, I've never made music thinking about a live show.
Really?
Yeah, it's always just been, like, vibes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, like, I'm going to go in and make music, like, specifically for, like, a festival or specifically for it to just, like, so I could be super excited for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just, like, that kind of intention. It's like, oh, I'm ready for the road because it's, like, this is the music that I would want to make if I was going on the road.
Mm-hmm. How did you, because I know, like, obviously you were, like, making everything by yourself in your bedroom, and then you go on and you bring in Pharrell and you bring in all these insane minds and people. How did you navigate relying on just yourself and just your sound and just what felt right to you? Like, how did you bring in other voices the second time around? Obviously,
yeah. You know. It was funny because the song that didn't come out, this is another song, we were just, like, on a keyboard, like very, it was just, you could tell it was all feeling, and then he trusts himself. That's what's crazy. He's just like, boom, he's like, you like it? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, I'll be back in 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
And then and he like went, and there's another session in the house, so he went, like, Pusha T was there, he came back 30 minutes later, and I was like, when he was gone, I was like, all right, I gotta just go crazy.
That's so high pressure.
I made the whole song in 30 minutes, the whole thing, and recorded it and everything. He came back upstairs. He's like, can I listen to it? I was like, yeah. This is Tamagotchi. 12 us through Milwaukee. Bitch, I'm making bread. Sound like Pavarotti. Bitch, my Vaseline. You can't get it off me. Bitch, this not my scene. Vamos pa' Miami. Fill up my waistline. I'm in LA for hours away. Just hit me on FaceTime. Feeling so good. Singing the bass line. So I played it and he starts freaking out, and I'm just like, oh wow, he trusts what I just did naturally. Like, this is just me being me in its purest form. It's like, this is what I would do, you know? It's not like, oh, what would he like, or, you know? So then that just gave me reassurance of, like, trusting yourself, your intuition, like, your gut. I'm just like, well, I'll just keep going. I was like, we can make 5 more. Like, I like, just get, send him more beats.
As many
I was like,
as you want,
so he got super hyped up, and he, like, brought up everybody from downstairs. He brought Pusha T up. He's like, y'all gotta listen to this shit.
God.
It was really cool. It was like, you know, when someone that you look up to just, like, fucks with you. Like, yeah.
Even that right there, I'm like, well, if I walked in the studio with Pharrell, I would be like, I'm going to make whatever I think is going to make Pharrell happy. Like, in that moment, what inside of you made you be like, no, I'm just going to be true to myself? Like, I got to make
I think
make
it was just
art.
Like, that's all I know how to do is, like, be myself. So, like, I honestly didn't think he was going to like it. Because I was just having fun. I was literally just freestyling. Like, and I was just like, well, I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, write something that's, like, because he was on some club shit. He told me, he's like, I'm on some club shit. So I'm like, oh, so, like, I'm just be talking about, like, you know, the club.
Whatever the club is.
Yeah, so yeah. I was just like, no, it was just, like, more, like, you know, arrogant energy, like, pedantic, like, very, like, bravado, like, kind of thing.
So having released your album, like, you have a few months now, right, since it's been out in the world, is there anything about it that feels different or feels like the way it was received is, I don't know, how do you feel about it?
Oh, man, I loved it. I mean, I went on tour, like, while the album came out, and people, like, knew the lyrics, so I was like, oh, I was really happy about that.
Yeah.
You kind of could tell the favorites right away. I'm still like working. It's kind of the same. I mean, I probably get more highs at the airport now. Definitely. I was like, oh, they say hi to me at the airport now? It's different.
I mean, you're kind of hard to miss.
I'm too big. Like, that's what it is. Like, my, like,
tallest
I'm too tall.
Mexican to ever live.
Literally. 6'5". There's got to be another one. We have to take a picture.
Literally all day
long.
Oh,
I did meet one. I did meet a guy who's like my height, if not taller. A Mexican guy. He was in, he owns this crazy taco shop. He's kind of like my age. Yeah, it's
where?
So good. I can't think. Oh, Cuantos Tacos. It's in like Texas.
Cuantos Tacos. Where in Texas?
Austin, I think.
Okay, you have to text it to me because I want to go.
It's really good.
That sounds sick.
Yeah, it was like amazing tacos. Like, it wasn't like average.
Okay, Texas or Southern California tacos?
I mean, the best tacos I've had in California were in Compton in some guy's backyard.
Okay.
Those like... they got shut down, but...
Oh, they got shut down because there was another backyard place.
Yeah, so good. And then... I mean, my mom's tacos are crazy, but the tacos in Texas are different.
Yeah.
They really know what they're doing. Not that Los Angeles doesn't know what they're doing.
You better be careful.
No, they do know what they're doing.
It's on the record.
I know it's on the record. I'll say it.
Do you stand by it?
Yeah,
you want to say that again?
I'll say it again. I mean, I'm just saying, like, L.A. has great tacos, but my mom has crazy tacos.
I believe that.
Like, it's insane.
I believe that.
Like, my mom, like...
Nothing beats,
When she came from Mexico... They were able to get a loan from the bank, and they opened up a restaurant. And
what?
And they called it El Super Taco, and they, like, had clientele. They didn't make any money, but, like, because they didn't really, you know, their first time opening a business.
Yeah.
And they got shut down, but the tacos were popping.
Wow.
Yeah, then, like, the new owners that they sold it to, well, my mom used that money to pay all the debt, and, like, they didn't make anything from selling it, but they kept the name, and my mom gave them the recipe.
She gave them the recipe?
And they would sell it, and because it was popping. Yeah, it was like, it was great tacos.
Is it still there?
No, now it's like a Shark's.
I was going to say, you got to go back and reclaim Super Taco.
Right? I need to.
I mean, maybe that's the
best tacos in the area.
Right?
But my mom's the only one that really knows how to make it. And she don't need to be doing that.
You mean you're not going to force your mom to...
No. I mean, I did start like a hot sauce company and she like helped me with the sauce.
No way. You have a hot sauce?
Yeah, it's called Dish It Hot. We're doing a relaunch soon.
Shit.
We're going to send you guys some.
Oh my God, please.
But yeah, that was the hot sauce she used at the restaurant.
Wow. Okay.
But she shut it down because of me. Because I was born. She couldn't take it. She would like raising kids in the restaurant. She was like, oh, I can't do this.
But then you're now selling the hot sauce. So it came full circle, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow. I will be looking out for that hot sauce. I'm expecting to get some in the mail.
Get some.
Well, this has been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much
truly,
for having me.
It's really been nice to get to chat with you.
You know, Anna, it's fascinating to me to listen to this interview of an artist that's pretty much fully developed, and yet there's still so much more we can expect from him. At the same time, it's almost a contradiction, but in Omar's case, it's true.
And that's exactly what we're talking about, right, Felix? Omar is all about sitting in those contradictions. He has so many plans for how he wants to continue to transform as an artist, but as a person... During our interview, especially as such a young person, he struck me as being really solid. He felt very grounded to me. Family's super complicated, and I really felt him when he talked about it, but it feels like he's done a lot of work on that and come to terms with what a lot of us kids with Mexican Catholic parents tend to struggle with.
You know, those things are not limited to your generation. You know, that's intergenerational, these things, the struggling with the things that our parents stand for. And I think that Omar Apollo really handles all that stuff very, very well in his music. And in particular, and in this Tiny Desk performance, he brought all of who he is. He was stripped down. He was singing rancheras. He was singing his soulful R&B. He was laying himself out there. It's a very powerful performance.
Oh, my God. I 100% agree. I mean, I think Omar, all of the Omars are on full display in that performance. His voice on Petrified, Fun fact, actually, for everyone to know, he sang that one twice, and it gave me literal chills both times. I'd highly recommend checking it out.
That's it for this week. You have been listening to Alt Latino, which is a production of NPR Music. Our editor is Hazel Sills. The Alt Latino intern is Vida Dadu. And our new production assistant is Fee O'Reilly.
And our audio producer is Ron Scalzo. I'm Ana Maria Sayer.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
Thank you, as always, for listening. We'll see you next week.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This election season, you can expect to hear a lot of news, some of it meaningful, much of it not. Give the Up First podcast 15 minutes, sometimes a little less, and we'll help you sort it out, what's going on around the world and at home. 3 stories, 15 minutes, Up First, every day. Listen every morning, wherever you get your podcasts.